those of you who are regular readers of the Anuam Way know that this is the last day of this issue. And it happened that this morning I just happened to notice the front cover again. So this is since the last chance to look at this cover. This image on the front cover is a representation of the parable from last Sunday. Remember the parable of the great wedding feast. So in this picture, if you have it, you can look at it. There are, in the center of the picture, there are these messengers of the king calling out, everything is ready, come to the feast. I can see at least two, maybe three people saying, okay, here's the great feast. And most of the other people in the picture are not paying any attention at all. On the right side, there's some guys, looks like they're in some kind of negotiations. Far in the background on the left, there's a couple people working in their field. And there's a soldier there, just kind of looking on, not paying any much attention. The only people who seem to be getting it are these poor people in the front left foreground. There's a, looks like a child, a little child, maybe a shepherd boy, looks like a crippled man, or maybe a couple of beggars or something, you know, like the poor, the lame, the outcasts. They're the ones who are actually paying attention to the invitation. Now, I just mentioned this because one of the central lessons of this whole week has been the difference between accepting the invitation and not accepting it, cooperating with the plan of God for our salvation, or not cooperating, salvation or condemnation. So that's at the center of this whole week. And it comes up again in these readings, today's readings emphasize the importance of faith in the first reading, faith, the faith of Abraham, and of the Holy Spirit. Not just the importance, the necessity of faith, the necessity of the Holy Spirit. The first reading is about faith. Paul's talking to the Romans. They're not Jews. He wants them to know about the promise made to Abraham, who is our father in faith. Now, the Jews understood Abraham as their father because he was literally their ancestor. They were descendants of Abraham. But the Romans are not. They're not from that line genetically or genealogically. So what do they have to do with Abraham? Well, this is what Paul is explaining. The promise made to Abraham is, I'm going to give you this land flowing with milk and honey, and I'm going to make you the father of many nations. You're going to have countless descendants, as numerous as the stars in the sky. And Abraham believes that promise, even though he doesn't have any land and he doesn't have any descendants. He has nothing to show for it, but he puts his trust in the Lord. This is the greatness of Abraham, his faith. And that's what Paul is saying here. If you want to be a descendant of Abraham, you can't insert yourself into the physical line of his descendants, but you can have his faith. And when you have his faith, then you can inherit his promises. You become part of the great progeny of Abraham. He's the father of many nations, and we ourselves are included among his descendants. So this tells us the importance of faith, the kind of faith Abraham had. Abraham had faith that believed beyond what could be seen, way beyond. The expression of St. Paul is hoping against hope. He hoped for something that it was impossible to hope for. Hoping against hope, he believed. That line stood out for me because just a couple days ago, a high officer in the Vatican, maybe the Secretary of State or whatever, was talking about the situation in Israel and Gaza and the hope that there could be some negotiations or some efforts to bring about peace. And he used this expression, well, we're hoping against hope that we can come up with a solution, because right now there's no hope, there's no way forward. But because of faith, because this is the position of every believing Christian, there has to be a way. In God, there has to be a way. So we're going to claim it in faith, even though we don't see any evidence of it, hoping against hope. Now, There's a technique that you sometimes hear about in the world where you are asked to choose a goal and then envision yourself as having accomplished the goal. Visualization, sometimes they call it. So you want to pass your board exam. You imagine yourself having passed the exam. You put in your mind a vision of yourself having passed the exam. It's a technique, visualization. Or by the end of the month, you'll have 5 new customers, something like that. And it works to a certain extent, right? I mean, it's right to have a goal, and it's right to channel all our energies toward a good goal. It does help. But only to a certain extent. It doesn't work when we're getting something that is completely beyond our capability. Abraham does not visualize himself being the father of many nations because he conjures up his imagination. He doesn't visualize himself becoming the owner of a vast and fruitful land. It wouldn't even make any sense. What he does is accept the promise of God. So he by faith, launches beyond what's naturally possible. That's faith. It's not irrational, it's suprarational. It goes beyond what we can accomplish on our own. That's faith. Okay. When we turn to the gospel, the word faith is not mentioned, but Jesus emphasizes the necessity of tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit. The necessity of having the Holy Spirit. Maybe we could use a modern example that tells us something about how this works. I'm thinking about electricity and electronic gadgets, computers, or anything electrical. Let's say there's a keyboard back there that's electrical. I remember a few years ago, I think Bart was, our music director, was playing the keyboard, and one of the choir members moved his chair and it pulled out the plug. It went from, you know, beautiful liturgical music to nothing. It made no sound at all. And everyone turned around, what happened to the keyboard? And someone realized right away, well, someone pulled out the plug. They plugged it back in and it worked again. So we understand that. Well, that electricity that's flowing through the outlet into the keyboard, that's the Holy Spirit. That's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is divine love. The Holy Spirit is the love of the Father and the Son poured out into our hearts. And when that energy is flowing through us, nothing is impossible because nothing is impossible for God. But if that connection to the Holy Spirit gets broken, if the plug gets pulled out, then we have nothing. It's not that we have a little bit or a lot. We either have the Holy Spirit or we have nothing. Faith is our willingness to plug in. So we do have a part to play here. We have to put the plug in the keyboard. God doesn't force us to be plugged in. We have to accept it. That's faith. Now, with that image in mind, we can see what Jesus is saying here. He speaks about the necessity of acknowledging him before others or denying him before others. Either we are willingly standing as his witness or we're not. It's kind of a black or white thing. Then he says this business about blaspheming. If you blaspheme the Son of Man, you can be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And that just sounds so strange to us. Why not? Why not? It's not that God is refusing to forgive. It's that if we are resisting the Holy Spirit, we're unplugged. We pull the plug on ourselves. And then we don't have the energy to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. We can't fulfill our purpose or God's purpose without the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, we can. That's why Jesus says at the end, You don't have to worry about what your defense is going to be. You don't have to worry about anything, really, deep down, because the Holy Spirit will teach you at that moment what you should say. So the Holy Spirit is the one who provides you with what you need to be able to accomplish or fulfill the plan of God. It's the Holy Spirit that makes it possible for us to enter into eternal life. We don't just visualize ourselves into heaven or act our way into heaven or fulfill the law our way into heaven. We don't have that kind of power on our own. But with the Holy Spirit, with faith, we do. And that's a completely different thing. So it's like the comparison between being unplugged or plugged in. Either we don't have the Holy Spirit, we've somehow blocked or rejected or denied the Holy Spirit, or we have Him. We are open to Him. We're welcoming His power, His love flowing through our spirit. The conclusion then is, be like Abraham. Abraham didn't know about the Holy Spirit, but he did know enough to say, I'm going to put my trust in what God says. And that opens the channel. That's what we have to say. We might not understand what's going on. We might feel like we're in a certain amount of darkness. We certainly don't understand everything. We live in an era which has a lot of darkness, including this war in Israel, as well as the war in Ukraine. These look like such impossible conflicts, and there are many others all over the world. We say, we can't just visualize ourselves into peace. We need a power that makes it possible. Hoping against hope, we put our trust in God. With faith, we open ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit, and then He's in charge. So we can live in peace because of the great gift of the Holy Spirit.